It's just me and
Blog
you.
Talk Radio.
That's the Ben Show.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you for joining us today as we look forward to you every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us now for a devotion, as we have Dr. Nooks, who will give us a song, as we will be reading our second week's lesson, starting with the foundational text that we have. And I guess we can use today's text of Joel 2:28. Or we can also read John 7:38-39. And I think that's the one I'll start with, is John 7:38-39. So Dr. Nooks, if you have a song, we'll do song, scripture, and prayer, and we will then get into our Bible study, starting with John, the 7th chapter, the 38th to the 39th verse. Song, scripture, prayer. Dr. Nooks.
Thought I would do great is thy faithfulness. Talking about faith. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Dr. Nook. We are going to be reading from John, the 7th chapter, the 38th to the 39th verse. And I'm just going to go ahead and start with the 25th verse. It says, at that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, isn't that the man they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me and you know where I'm from. I'm not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. They said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I'm with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you cannot find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find me? And where am I that you cannot come?" On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing this word, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. May God bless the hearers in the reading of his word.
Amen.
You know, as we come together tonight, I ask that you bow your heads with me in prayer. We go before the Lord. God, we come before you, giving you honor, glory, praise, asking, Lord, that you'd move us aside. Move us aside, O God, so that we can receive that which you have for us today. Transform our lives. Work in our hearts. Help us to be more like you. Help us to see that you want us to change, that you want us to become. And as we seek to do that, oh God, open our spiritual eyes so that we can have insight. Conform our hearts, change them so that we can walk your walk and not only talk it. And then, Lord, trust in you, the faith that we will receive freely. Trust in you that you will be faithful to never leave us nor forsake us, but to continue to guide and direct, so that we can become more pleasing in your sight. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name, we pray this night. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're so excited today to walk and work with this Bible study that we have in front of us. Our teacher is generally Brother Lester Carver, but he is not in today at this point. And so we're going to go ahead and we are going to look at the Bible study. And so we're going to begin with just a little bit of a reminder of where we are last week, what it is that God had for us. And for those of you who were not here last week, we worked from the title of God's faithfulness. We're working as we look at God's faithfulness. What does God's faithfulness look like? Are you there, Dr. Nook?
I'm here.
And you know, last week we read Psalms 89, 1 through 2, Psalms 121, and Isaiah 54. But tonight we're going to look at the title, The Faith That We Receive Freely. And we're going to start with Joel 2:28, Matthew 3:11, Luke 11:13, and we're going to then go back to the John passage that we talked about a little earlier. So welcome those of you who joined the line. We're always grateful to have you with us. Tonight we're going to talk about the faith that we receive freely. So Dr. Nooks and those of you who are on the line, if you would turn to Joel, the second chapter, the 28th verse. Joel, the second chapter, the 28th verse. And when you get there, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, if you would be willing to look at that and read the context of that text.
Yeah, I'd like to start at verse 27. Then you will know that I am among my people, Israel, that I am the Lord your God. There is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Nooks, as we look at this text, what's one of the first things that jumps out at you?
Well, God's faithfulness jumps out at me and what God is going to do on the earth with people. And the lesson is about the faith that we receive freely. And so these things God is going to do, and we're going to receive them. And I guess what's wonderful is that those that believe in God will escape any bad things that's going to happen. And many will equate this with the tribulation period and the coming of the Lord and binding up Satan, putting him in the pit, but it also be the tribulation period when Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet be on the earth and cause some terrible things to happen. But God says that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all people. And the spirit of God is poured out, but this is going to be a time of special filling, I think, of the Spirit. And many people, you know, are filled with the Spirit. Now, many people believe in the Spirit, and many people don't necessarily believe in the Spirit the way it was poured out before when people spoke in tongues and prophesied. So you have people that believe in speaking in tongues and prophesying and dreaming dreams and seeing visions. And then there are those that believe that those stopped after the original disciples died, and I believe there are gifts of the Spirit, and I believe that people do speak in tongues. I believe that people do prophesy. I believe that there is a pouring out of the Spirit now, but this is going to be a period of a special outpouring of the Spirit. But everybody doesn't receive from God in the same way. But this is going to be a wonderful time, and it's a wonderful time as far as the Spirit of God is concerned. And there will be people that will see things and understand things beyond their own understanding. And that is a promise that God has made to us. And I believe that God keeps God's promises.
Amen. Amen. God truly keeps God's promises. And you know, that's special, Dr. Nix, when you look at the fact that do you see that stuff occurring today? Do you see some of that manifesting even as we speak?
Yes, I do.
Amen.
I believe that I believe that there are people that have been gifted. The power comes from God, but there are people that have been gifted to be able to prophesy and to see dreams and visions and to speak in unknown tongues and to interpret. There, I mean, the gifts that were spoken of in the Bible, 1 Corinthians. I mean, I believe they've been manifested and they're manifested now and. But everybody doesn't have the same gifts, and people walk in different ways, and people have different understandings.
Amen, amen. Well, for those callers who just recently joined the line, tonight we are working with the title of The Faith That We Receive Freely, and we just read the text from Joel 2:28. Are there any of you who'd like to comment on that text? Can I get a roll call at this point? Who's on the line?
Lester Carver.
Oh, wonderful. How you doing, Bo Teacher?
I apologize. I am guilty. I'm guilty. Jesus.
Okay, who else is on the line? Who else on the line tonight? Mm-hmm. Can we get a roll call? Lester Carver, who else? Brother Mark, is that
Mark
you?
Mark Lyons. This is.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, good is. To hear yes, from is. You. Anybody yes, else on the line tonight? That's Brother Diggs, yes, I see. Have. And Brother Carter. And Brother James. And anybody else? Anybody who wants? Amen. Dr. Nix, would you just specifically read the 28th verse? He read more than that, but if you would just read the 28th verse again, so that they could catch up to what we're really focusing on and kind of enlighten them where we are so that they can jump in there.
Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And I just shared that, that there are people that have these gifts now. The Spirit has been poured out in different ways, but this is going to be a special time before the coming of the Lord, and when the earth will receive special anointing and special gifts of the Spirit from God. But it says after this, there's going to be some difficult times on the earth. But those that believe in God will be spared from those difficult times, and we can equate this to the millennial period, and the rapture, and the time when the Antichrist and the false prophet will be on the earth, and there'll be great, great pain upon the earth, and many things will happen that will be difficult. When you see earth turning, the wonders of heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke, the sun will become dark and the moon turn into blood. These are all things that are talked about in Revelations also. But God is faithful in what God says God will do. And so that's the message. God says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And so God doesn't tell a lie. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So God is faithful.
Amen.
And we receive freely from that faith that God has to know that we're going to be spared any difficulty, but also we're going to receive special gifts from God.
Is there anybody who says something that jumped out at you
I'd like
in that text?
Is one of the things that I think we have to remember is that the free gift is Holy Spirit, right? And if we go to 1 Corinthians 11, 12, and 13, that area, right, tell us about the operations of the Holy Spirit, which are speaking in tongues, tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. And as you study over time, God will show you how, as you believe, as you increase in faith, as you learn to walk in each of those operations of the gift of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will grow, your ability to function in more of those areas will grow, and you won't necessarily see each one of those operations as a special gift all by itself, but you will understand that those are simply operations of the gift of Holy Spirit, a lot like our computer. Our computer can do a lot of things. Our operating system is Windows. Think of the Holy Spirit like Windows. There are a lot of things that your computer can do, but it's one operating system. It's one computer. You turn it on and you can do a whole lot of things. Some people just use their PC for Facebook. Some people just use their PC for a Word document. Some people use their PC for different things. I use it for AutoCAD, right? But there's so much more that we could do, right? So it's a lot like our brains even. We use our brains to do certain things, but we know we're only using 10% of the capacity of our brain. There's so much that we've unlearned during the course of our lifetime that if we only started to focus on the things that God designed it to do and allowed our brain to do some of the things it's designed to do, we would be amazed at ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is a lot like that.
Absolutely. And so what we're looking at here is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that serves as the main process of the operating system. It says clearly that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There you go. So it gives clarity to the operating system, even though that they're different aspects of what it can do, different kinds of working, but the same God works of them and all men. And so, you know, that is exactly what we're talking about. So as we're looking at this text, you know, Lester, thank you for pointing out that. Brother Mark, you heard the scripture. What is it that's jumping out at you about that text? What is it that comes to mind? Because, you know, you've heard it a lot of times. We, you know, it's a common scripture. And it's something that's really important in this day and time. And why is it important to you right now? You there, Brother Mark?
Okay. Yes. To me, you know, God, you know, it's the word is the word. You know, when he says, I'll pour my spirit into all men. And I think that there are two things that I'm mindful of. It's two. One is that we have an opportunity to receive God's Spirit, and it is an opportunity, it's a joy, it is something special that one should take advantage of, because God said he would pour his Spirit out unto all men. And number two is that there are gifts that God has given, and each of us have those, you know, different gifts. And again, we must search and explore and allow God to use us and work through us to be a blessing to his kingdom.
Amen. 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 Brother Eric, you heard the text for tonight. So what jumps out at you?
Actually, I just got on. I'm sorry. I did not.
Okay.
So what is the text?
I'll read it one more time. I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'll even pour out my spirit on the servants, men and women both. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and blowing smoke, sun turning black and the moon blood red before the judgment day of God. The day, tremendous and awesome. Whoever calls help, God gets help. So it goes on to talk about the issue is we're talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, we looked at that 28th verse to try to get some impact of what the text says. And you might can read it through your translation that would be a little bit different. It just simply says, then after doing all those things, looking at the New Living Translation, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. So what jumps out at you and how does that impact you today? How is that impacting you right now? And how do you see that taking place?
Well, the fact that God can pour his spirit out, and he didn't specify in that text that would there only be those people that call upon his name. At the end, it did say those who call for God's help receive God's help. But God can mm-hmm. pour his spirit out on any and everybody to get his will and message across. And so how that, I think that's what jumps out to me, is that it's just that the text doesn't just say I'm going to pour my spirit out on the people who are seeking me, or the people who call on me, or the people who say they're Christians, or the people who fill in whatever you want to. He's saying he'll pour out his spirit on all people so that everyone will know that God is real and God is true. And how that impacts me personally today
mm-hmm.
is that in my spiritual baptism, I know that God's spirit is real and can rest, rule, and abide in one's life, me being a prime example. What I see going forward is just a prelude to what Christ says, what the text says, that all, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So whether you want to believe on this side or whether you want to face the judgment, but at some point in time, every knee will bow to Christ as Savior and every tongue will confess Jesus as the one, the only true living Savior of the world.
Amen. And, you know, I think what's so awesome about this, you know, I thank Brother Lester for this lesson, is because we are talking, as he started off with last week, about God's faithfulness. And this week we're focusing on the faith that we receive freely. And God has opened up this opportunity for us to receive from the Holy Spirit. As he was saying, the operating system is functions like the Holy Spirit. And all of these things in which we are gleaning from, and as it's all of us. The Spirit is poured out upon all of us, as Brother Eric was saying. So, Brother Lester, I had started that verse, and I'm glad that you made it in. And if there's anything else you want to say about it.
Yeah. And really, just to say that the faith, and honestly, this whole series this month came from Dr. Susie when she asked the question in last month's series that Dr. Nooks was teaching. She asked the question, what is the difference between faith and believing? And we really had to process that because the words in the Greek are the same. It's pistis, pisteo, etc., which is basically just the noun, the verb, the adverb, and the adjective version of the same thing. But essentially, faith is what comes from God. Faith, God gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. He gives us the power, the ability, places that within us. But then believing is what we do with that faith. Believing is what we do with what God gives us freely, right? So what we want to see in these verses tonight is, what are we getting freely from God? And what God has given us is the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, the more you study the Word of God, the more you will see examples in the Scripture of what the power of the Holy Spirit within you can allow you to do when you believe. Now, God says He's given each of us grace, the ability to receive from Him, because He knows what we're going to believe to do and what we're not going to believe to do, right? But you can't believe to do something you're not taught is available, right? So we want to study God's Word to see what's available so we can get to the point where we can either believe or not to do what the Word says is available. And I think what Eric said earlier was really powerful when he said God poured out His Spirit upon all men. And that's why the unforgivable sin is for men to openly reject that by blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, because they're saying no to something that they have access to. And basically, how they say it in the world is putting their middle finger to God, okay, to the sky. That's what they're doing when they do that. And the opposite of that is what we do, where we raise our holy hands to God and we receive all that He has for us in that free gift of the Holy Spirit, and we keep asking for more and more and more so we can get closer and closer and closer to Him and His will and His purpose and His glory. And it's the opposite of what those other people are doing. Now, there are a whole bunch of other people in the world who are not doing either. They're not giving God the middle finger, and they're not giving God praise, and they're going to end up in the same place
as the
people who are giving God the middle finger. They might as well be, because they be getting some rewards here on earth from the devil for that. Those people are just dying twice for nothing.
Right. And I hear that. So what we need to make sure we're doing tonight, though, is to letting you go on forward with this teaching and making sure that we're able to dialogue and get all of our different perspectives. Because one of the things we do, whether it's I'm teaching, Brother Les is teaching, Dr. Nooks is teaching, or Eric is teaching, and praise the Lord, we have 4 teachers this year. And that is, we have to understand, we don't agree. Just like Lester was saying, when Dr. Nooks was given the teaching on faith and believe, whether you remember it or not, Lester and I didn't still agree, and I still don't agree, that faith and belief are exactly the same because of the nouns and the verbs and the different manifestations of that. But yes, the root is the same. But how it's used to me, again, if we get to that teaching where we want to break down the Greek words, we can do that at another time. But it's okay that we don't agree. It is. We all bring forth information. We all bring forth teaching. And when we get the teaching, it's up to each individual to go to the text, pray to the Lord through their relationship with God, and study and make their decision how they choose to believe, because you are the one that has to walk in the faith that you have. You are the one that has to stand accountable for God for what you believe, not me, not Brother Lester, not Dr. Nooks, and not Eric. And so that's why we come together to reason together, to present truth as we perceive it and believe it from the Word of God, to give you tools in which you can use to grow and to benefit. And so praise God for the lesson tonight on faithfulness. In Joel 2:28 is where we just left. Brother Lester, it's up to you if you're ready to move on to Matthew 3:11.
The next verse is Matthew 3:11. And I can read it if you'd like. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. This is John the Baptist talking, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what's interesting about this verse is that John the Baptist baptized with water for repentance, right? Well, we know that in Acts 2:38 and 39, one of the things we have to do is to repent, right? So water baptism is still in order, but the other thing that we must do is to we have to actually repent and be baptized. We turn away from serving sin, right? We're water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That word Lord is master. Jesus Christ is your master. And then we have to believe in our heart that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead. That's Romans 10:9-10. And then some of us believe that the way we know that we know that we know that we're saved is by believing even further, as it says in Acts 19:1-7, that we believe to speak in tongues and prophesy, so that we're in constant communication with God, and we know that our inner man is being built up regularly because we're speaking in our heavenly prayer language. And I know not everybody believes that. So this is a verse to really discuss about, you know, these different things.
Amen.
Anybody else?
What would you like us to focus on?
Want to comment on Matthew 3:11?
This is Eric. Also, that baptism with water. You know, all of you have heard me say I got baptized and I went down a dry devil and just came up a wet one because there really wasn't. It was something I knew that I needed to do. I did believe in God. I did believe in Jesus. But that baptism at that particular point really didn't change my behavior. I'm just going to be honest about it. It wasn't until my spiritual baptism, which was, you know, 6-7 years later, that my behavior began to change. But I also want to draw this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And this is a picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God from a clean conscience. And the King James says that it's not putting away the filth off your flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. So that water baptism is a conscience that you have accepted that the only way that you are going to be saved, reach eternity, is through God and the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. That God has given you this gift of his son's sacrifice, his blood sacrifice, to cleanse you of your unrighteousness, that you can then accept Christ as being your substitute when you have to stand before God. Because I still believe and I still submit that when we stand before God, and this is Eric, I want everybody to be mindful of that, that when we stand before God, God is going to call up, show us every thought, every deed, every spoken word, every unspoken word, every idle thought, everything that passed through our mind and comes out of our heart.
If for some reason you're going in and out, is there a reason? Are you on a mic or something?
No. I'll see if I can get better reception. Go ahead, Brother Carver.
Okay. Well, I think, go ahead.
Oh
no, is there somebody else?
Yeah, this is James.
Dr. Noakes.
Yeah, I was just going to point out to many people that are maybe listening in about this concept of baptizing. Because many of you may go to different churches and you find out that people baptize in different ways. Some with immersion, some sprinkling, some pouring. And some stressing more the fact that the importance of baptism, others that baptism is in obedience to the Bible and the fact that it's an outward showing of what has happened on the inside. So when you see the different performances of baptism, understand that people have to make a decision for Christ and there needs to be a change on the inside. And to me, my understanding is that baptism is an outward showing of what has already happened. And I think that's sort of what Brother Eric was saying there. There needs to be a change in your life. And this is Jesus was baptized. So we're following Christ's example. And also we were told to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the early church. So this is it's not only an outward showing, but it's also being obedient and following the example of Christ. But
and
there needs to be
a
change, a spiritual change. inside.
And you know,
absolutely,
Dr.
Nooks.
One of the things I'd like to mention is simply that just as Eric mentioned that he was water baptized first, but it didn't affect his behavior. But then when he was baptized in the Spirit, it did affect his behavior. I had the opposite experience where I was baptized in the Spirit first, and then about, 20 years later, I was water baptized, and that was my submission. That's when my behavior caught up with everything else, right? And I think the thing I want to point out is that there are, to my knowledge, five things that God asks us to do in the process of salvation, but those things can be done in any order, at any time, as God leads you into that place. And I would say don't resist anything that the Holy Spirit is leading you into as it pertains to any of those five things, because they are levels of submission. And just like anything else, we don't just arrive all at once. It took 9 months to prepare us to get here, you know, in the natural realm, right? And God has given us 70 to 120 years to prepare in this earthly realm in preparation for eternity, right? Just remember that what we do here, what we end up with in eternity is going to be the result of how we spend these 70 to 120 years here. So we want to study the Word so that we can do things according to the Word, so that we can have our rewards intact in heaven, because there will be three categories of people in heaven. There will be people in heaven with no reward. There will be people in heaven with a full reward. And then there will be people in heaven with a partial reward. Well, we just thank God we're not going to be one of those people who are not in heaven, right? But in addition to that, we want to please God. We want to serve God. So think about what you're doing for God, how you're doing it for God, and make sure that God is informing you from the Word through His Holy Spirit about what He wants you to do for Him and how He wants you to do it.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. This is a very powerful text for me because, you know, being a woman in ministry, you know, this is one of the texts that is freeing to say that, you know, God uses everybody at this point in time, that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all to do the purpose of God's work. And so one of my favorite commentaries that I often like was the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And I just wanted to read a little passage related to this because it ties the two scriptures we just read together, the Joel passage and this Matthew passage. It says, "The relationship of John the Baptist to the coming Messiah was clearly seen. John believed he was not even worthy to carry or untie the sandals of the coming one. John was simply an introducer who was preparing a remnant for the Messiah and who was baptizing in water those who responded. The coming one would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire," talking about Jesus. "Those hearing John's words would have been reminded of two Old Testament prophecies, Joel 2:28-29, which we read, and Malachi 3:2-5. Joel had given the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Israel. An actual outpouring of the Spirit did occur in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, which we read earlier. But experientially, Israel did not enter into the benefits of that event. She will yet experience the benefits of this accomplished work when she returns in repentance at the Lord's second advent. The baptism with fire, referring to the judging and cleansing of those who would enter the kingdom as prophesied in Malachi 3. This symbolism is carried through by John, who spoke of the separation that occurs with the winnowing fork, tossing up the grain where the wheat is then gathered in the barn, and the chaff, which is the other part, is burned up. John was saying that the Messiah, when he came, would prepare a remnant, meaning the wheat, for the kingdom by empowering and cleansing the people. And so those who reject him are going to be judged and cast into the unquenchable fire. But the point is seeing how the two scriptures come together in an understanding of that those two Old Testament prophecies and how they're working together to talk about the pouring out of the Spirit. And all of this, based on what Brother Lester brought to us, is a reminding, as a reminder to us about our understanding of the faith that we receive. Amen.
Amen. You want to look at the next passage of Scripture? Does somebody want to get Luke 11:13?
Luke 11:13. I have it if you don't. 11:13.
I got it. This is Eric. I've got it. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Amen.
Does that not say it all? What do you think about that passage?
Well, we know how our earthly fathers are and what they will do for us. How much more will God do, especially if you're seeking Him and asking Him? And He's assured you that if you will do that, then He will give the Holy Spirit.
And you know what? As a father, or even as a wife who has observed a father at Christmas, have you ever seen fathers and how we get at Christmas? We are anticipating seeing the excitement on our children's face when they walk into the room and everything on their list, no matter how big or how small, is under or around that tree, right? Now, unfortunately, everybody didn't have a dad like that, so they think God is, you know, a skimper. But fathers who are, like, just driven, because there are different types of fathers, but a driven father, he's looking for that reaction, that response on his children's face to see the kind of effort he put forth to make that day special. And sometimes it's not about something on their list, because some parents, they just get you what they get you, but that means they might be paying closer attention to you because there's nothing that you need to put on your list. They're giving you stuff all through the year, and they're just paying attention to what you like and looking for those things that you're really going to respond to. That's like a next level, right? Well, God is like the ultimate father. And when you read this verse, He's saying, it doesn't matter, you know, as good as your best father is on earth, how much more do you think God is going to give you of this Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit, we know all of us who believe are going to receive that. But then when we talk about the operations of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. Do you know it's God's will for you to operate in the fullness of all of that if you believe? Because you can do more for Him, and you'll see more dimensions of God when you believe and go from grace to grace and faith to faith, right? So our expectation has to be that the Holy Spirit over time, over our 70 to 120 years on earth, God is going to lead us to higher dimensions of operating in that Spirit so that we're not just going in the same circle on the treadmill doing the same thing for 70 to 100 years. It's a lot of time to grow closer and closer to God. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, this is Eric. And so God's not going to break in and put that Holy Spirit in you. You've got to seek it and put yourself in a posture to receive it while you're asking for it. And that's the problem that a lot of our brothers and sisters have, is that they're not in true posture to receive that, because that means that you got to let go of self, you got to let go of pride, you got to let go of that me, and you got to really look at, okay, Lord, what can I do to serve you? And it may be some things asked of you that you're like, I ain't doing that. I don't want to do that. I'm not leaving my home. I'm not going to that part of town. I'm not taking that job. And so a lot of us miss that because we're not submitting ourselves. And be mindful that Christ taught us that when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't want to go through that. What did He say, Dr. Nooks? If this cup could pass through me, if not my will, Lord, your will.
Amen. And do you know the opposite of that is the story of Jonah, right? Where God sent him on this assignment. And he said, I want you to go warn the people of Nineveh and tell them that if they don't get right, I'm going to wipe them out. And Jonah's like, I don't want to warn them. I want you to wipe them out because they burned our babies. They boiled them in oil. They smashed them against the wall. They persecuted my people. And you want me to go warn? Because I know what you're going to do. You're going to cause them to repent and turn to you and all this other. He's like, I'm not doing that. And did everything to resist that. In the end, God set up all those circumstances that led to Jonah doing what he didn't want to do. And even after Jonah got done doing what he didn't want to do, he's still pouting. But God is still showing him favor and grace and all the rest of this. So I think one of the lessons we can see here is we don't want to resist the will of God in our life, because we can obey God and be blessed, or we can obey God and pout. And the thing is, you know, when you realize you walk into the authority of the household of God, you walk through God's front door when you made Jesus Christ your master. Now, we say Lord, and it's an ambiguous thing to us because we live in this democratic society and we don't really acknowledge authority the way that somebody in a monarchy might, right? But when you say Lord, you're saying Jesus Christ is your master. So replace that word Lord with master, and then respond like Jesus Christ is your master, and you will stop thinking what God is telling you to do in the scripture is optional, because it's not. He's requiring you to obey, and your blessings are connected to obedience. What you do is as much for you as it is for God, and God wants you to be blessed, but you better obey. You better learn to obey. Now, what happens over time is when you don't, the chastening of the Lord trains you to learn to obey, and the more you experience that, the more you learn to submit. And God is not going to ignore you till you get the lesson. Otherwise, you keep going in circles and circles and end up in the same place and wondering why I can't get past the same cycle. It's because you're not obeying.
This is James.
What he tells you to do. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie. One of the things. Go ahead, James. I'll go after you.
I wanted to point out something about the Holy Spirit and asking God for the Holy Spirit. For those that are listening in, people's understanding of the Holy Spirit is different. And I remember when I was younger, some Baptist churches, if you said you wanted the Holy Spirit, some of them would think you're talking about speaking in tongues or shouting. The Holy Spirit manifests itself. We walk in the Spirit. So that means the Spirit is with you, guiding you through your whole life. It's not just a one-time experience, although sometimes we have a filling of the Spirit, and we have special anointings of the Spirit. So we do special things sometimes. Sometimes we do speak in tongues. Sometimes we do have special gifts that are outpoured through the Spirit, through the touching of the Spirit. But our everyday life, when we're talking to people, we're walking in the Spirit. And in some faiths, some denominations, everybody needs to have the Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit of God in us, then we're not a part of God. We're not a part of Christ. Christ said that. I mean, that's in the scripture. We're not a part of Him if we don't have the Spirit in us. So we need to have the Holy Spirit, but then we have all these stereotypes about the Spirit and thinking that it's supposed to make you do this, it's supposed to make you do that. Spirit will make you do different things, and the Spirit will lead you and guide you and bring things back to your remembrance, as the scriptures say. So don't be afraid of the Spirit, or don't think, put chains on the Spirit and say, this is the Spirit. If I don't have it this way, then I don't have the Spirit. The Spirit is working in different ways in you, and it's a part. It should be a part of you, and not something external that just comes sometime, but it works in different ways.
Amen. And one of the things that God says.
Can I go next? I've been waiting. Can I go next? Okay, because see, Dr. Nunn, I heard kind of what you were saying, but, you know, when I heard that text, when I heard the text talks about, you know, how to give good gifts to your children, this whole section is in reference to prayer. It's in trying to teach God's people to understand how we're to be persistent in prayer and to be steadfast and asking God to receive their needs. But what's real clear is that the good gift that he's talking about giving, when it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That is the good gift, the most important gift that the followers would receive that it talked about in Acts. And the difference is, you know, as Dr. Snooks has his perspective, but my understanding is that in the Old Testament, for people to receive the Holy Spirit, it came up on them. It did not dwell in them, but it came upon them. And that's why Jesus said, go and wait that it would come upon them. So they went to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them in Acts. And then when it did come upon them, at that point in time, they received the Holy Spirit. And for all of us today, the moment we accept Christ as our personal Savior, that's one of the things that we receive as part of the gift. That is that the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, to lead, guide, and direct us. And so,
yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is permanently. So in the Old
Testament,
that's
what I'm saying. This is not a temporary. I said he comes to live in us. That's different from coming to align on us or to come down and empower us.
The
difference is he said wait would live in us and reside in us.
Mm-hmm.
Reside means permanent setting up.
You want to read John 7:38-39?
Before we do that, I'm going to have to drop off, but I want to make this point. And Dr. Susan, I heard that and understand that. But there were some folks in the Old Testament that the Spirit dwelled in. And I don't think we can gloss over that, because Enoch walked with the Lord and walked away from here. And he didn't just do that because he did that because the Spirit was in him and his relationship with God. I mean, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a common occurrence in the Old Testament, but it did take place, that the Spirit dwelt within those folks who we read about.
You know what? When you read what we're about to read in John 7:38-39, it's too bad you have to go. It's going to speak to exactly what you're saying, especially at the end of the verse.
When we try to figure out a pattern on how God works, and we can say this is how we expect it to work. For example, there were people who said that if they saw God, they would die. Whereas there were things that would happen, and Moses saw the back of God. He didn't die. There were some certain situations and circumstances when Gideon asked something from an angel and it happened, and he didn't die. I mean, it's different things, but overall, a pattern of behavior that we can look at is that the Holy Spirit did not reside in people at that time. That's why he made a point of saying that something's different now. What's different now is we're in a new relationship, and where Christ has come, he's died on the cross. And now the new thing is that he will be with you from now on. So we don't have to keep asking. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we got him.
Amen.
That's all I'm trying to say, generally.
You want to read John 7:38-39?
John 7:38-39 is right here. It says that, starting in verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
So this is Eric, and I do have to go, and I understand what that scripture says. But Dr. Nooks, what was the time period from when God stopped talking to the people till Jesus showed up? 400 years?
400 years.
Okay, so this is Eric. So that's the period that he's talking about, that Jesus had to come, and Jesus had not yet ascended to his Father for the Spirit to come. But prior to that, when God did have those relationships with the prophets and, you know, all those folks, I believe, so let me clarify this, I believe that there was an indwelling of the Spirit in people like Enoch and people like Abraham and people like David. That there was an indwelling of a relationship with God that bubbled up from the inside, because if that's not the case, then Moses could not have been accepted as being faithful, from my perspective.
Well, one of the examples that people use, though, to discuss a variation of what you just put forth is Saul, right? But Saul was anointed, right? And in the process of being anointed, he disobeyed more than once and found himself in a position where the Spirit that allowed him to operate, allowed him to communicate, allowed him to receive, was removed from him, right? And that is one of those things that you see in that Old Testament relationship, is that what is permanently within us now, the state that Adam was designed in originally, was not available, or Jesus Christ would never have had to die on the cross. So that's one of those things that this scripture here says.
Well, this is Eric.
Let me read one more thing, Eric, to kind of support. Give me 2 seconds, Eric, and don't go nowhere. I want to read this because it's not from Dr. Susie. This is, again, from my favorite commentary, and it supports you. It says, John explained that the living water was the coming gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit within a believer satisfies his need of God and provides him with regeneration, guidance, and empowerment. In the earliest Greek manuscript, the words "up to that time the Spirit had not been given" are simply "for there was not yet Spirit." This cannot be taken in an absolute sense, since the Spirit had actively worked among people in the Old Testament era. Jesus referred to the special baptizing, sealing, and indwelling work of the Spirit in the church age, which would start on the day of Pentecost, Acts 1:5 and Acts 8. Jesus said he would send the Spirit to the followers. The Spirit had not yet been given to indwell believers permanently. That happened after Jesus was glorified. So, yes, right, there were times where that happened, but it did not reside permanently within those individuals.
Okay.
But it happened.
Does anyone want to look at the next passage?
I'm supporting that. It did happen.
Does anyone want to look at the next passage?
Well, thank you.
Really,
I've got to go attend to something.
Very well. It's a good discussion. Acts 1. 4:2-6. Acts 1:4-8. I'm sorry.
Who do you have reading it?
Anyone who wants to?
Go ahead. I didn't know who you were asking. 1:4-8. We're with you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth."
Please expound.
When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are to have power. God promised this. And when you're baptized in the Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, this is the puzzling thing, because we have power and we don't even exercise the power that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's been given. And
right,
yet,
right.
And this is one of the sad things of the church and the people that are people of God. We have it. You know, God knows when the end's going to come, but we already have power. I think so many things limit it. Our doubt, our trying to do things ourselves,
well,
not
yeah.
yielding to the Spirit.
Unbelief, right?
Unbelief, I mean.
Your own understanding.
Yeah.
Walking
in our own limited
ability.
Amen. Amen.
And so when I look at this, you know, it's the purpose at the end. The reason we have the power is so that we can be witnesses of him and to the ends of the earth, right? Because when people
Amen.
See signs, miracles, and wonders happening through those who believe, that's when they're going to be drawn to God. See, signs, miracles, and wonders can't happen through people who don't believe. And I remember what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. If you read through the list of everything the Apostle Paul accomplished after he was saved, it's outstanding, right? But what we're doing, and this is one of the things, some people teach manifestation of speaking in tongues is a one-time event, but we are to be speaking in tongues daily, often, continually. We're building up our inner man when we do that. And that's not out loud necessarily. We can speak in tongues just like we talk to ourselves silently, right? I know when I'm praying in a group with other believers and somebody's praying, while they're praying, I'm speaking in tongues to myself, and it's my way of participating in that prayer, right? And so we want to remember that the Holy Spirit is supernatural. It is connecting God's super with your natural. And so the more you study God's word, just look for those things God is presenting to you as new dimensions to believe, new dimensions to challenge yourself, new dimensions to grow in, because as soon as we get to the point where any of us think we've arrived and we know it all, we're going to stop growing and we're going to stop allowing that power to flow through us, and we're going to be putting our foot in the hose. Having been at that point at one point in my life, I can tell you that it is not dynamic, and it really isn't where God needs us to be. But God sometimes allows us to experience that so that we can get past an intellectual understanding about God into an experiential knowing of God, that ginosko.
Amen. You know, this is a very powerful lesson, Brother Lester. Thank you so much. And I think that we need to understand that when we do accept, and, you know, as John was talking about the promised gift with that spirit baptism that occurs, as well as with the water baptism, and how we are sealed, and that sealing, that connection, we don't have to worry once that takes place. You know, that puts us in a posture of sanctification, of knowing that we're going to get where God wants us to be.
Amen.
God is going to work with
us. He's going
to
make sure we get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So praise the Lord. It is now 8:09. Is there another scripture you'd like to close us with that you want to seal this with, Brother Lester, tonight?
You know what? I think there is one that we have to be in. And it's really brief, right? Acts 2:4,
okay.
It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, right? And what I want to share about this is that the Spirit enabled them to speak in other tongues, right? And that word filled is filled to overflowing. So God doesn't just want to fill you to your comfort zone, to your capacity. He wants that filling, that plato, to overflow the edges of your vessel so that it can be poured out into other vessels. Have you ever watched what they do at weddings where they have the big pyramid of the champagne glasses and they pour the beverage on the top one and it flows out into all the succeeding glasses, and from that one glass, all the glasses get filled, right? That's what God wants to do with his Spirit in you. He wants you to be willing to allow what he pours into you to overflow your rim and pour out into the lives of others, and what you're going to see is what's within you coming out of you, and it goes back to that rivers of living water that we read about in Luke, I believe. So just ponder that, and let the Holy Spirit lead you into a knowledge and understanding of what God is asking you to do next, because there's always more, there's always next, and just when we think we got it figured out, God is going to stretch us more.
Let me jump in here real quick, James, and you can go if you don't mind. But I just wanted to talk about understanding of the text when it's talking about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Since when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled with the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And it's talking about, when you talk about the wind and the fire, that the word for spirit is pneuma, and it's translated as wind, and it also means breath. So you've got the spirit and the wind are breath, and it's blowing. And it sounds like the blowing of a violent wind instead of from heaven. And it's pointing to the power of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit coming, where the tongues of fire are portraying the presence of God. And throughout the Old Testament, you can see God displayed in the forms of flame. And we know that one of the most common ones we always remember is how Moses, you know, talked to the Lord and the burning bush. But the point is that no believer there, no believer in their midst of what was going on during this Acts 2 passage was exempt from this experience. It says the flame separated and came to rest on not one of them, but it said each of them. And therefore, the filling with the Holy Spirit, to me, that's separate from the baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit's baptism occurs once for each believer at the moment of salvation. Spirit's filling may occur not only at salvation, but on other occasions when it was necessary for there to be a indwelling or a filling of the Spirit. For me.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks, go ahead.
I would say, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to remind our listeners that, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit is different for different denominations, and how it works in our lives is different. People have different understandings. But don't ever forget that we have to love people. And I've found this very interesting in many denominations where people have gifts of the Spirit, and it seems like they don't know how to love people. And we put one denomination down over another, and we try to elevate ourselves, and we get to the point sometimes where we feel that we are holier than thou because we have a gift. And that is a problem. Whenever we get to the point that we feel like we're elevated or that we can't love God or love people, then we've missed the whole boat. So don't ever forget that we need to.
I would go even further to say that, you know, what we've done with denominations in general is chop the body of Christ into a whole bunch of insignificant pieces, and the body of Christ is one with Christ at the head. And so these traditions of men that we embrace and these organizations that we lift up, in these individuals that we elevate, in these histories that we tout over and over and over, are the fables and worthless nonsense that God told us to avoid. And so when that time, that power is going to be poured out and things are going to open up, is when you're not going to see those denominations chopping up the body of Christ. You're going to see one body of Christ, and you're going to see believers performing signs, miracles, and wonders on a regular basis because they really believe.
Amen. And Brother Lester, to me, this is it comes full circle, as you talked about, the faith that we receive freely. So when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, when we have received the Lord as our Lord and Master, as you shared earlier, then the Holy Spirit empowers us, comes to reside in us, and that faith, we receive it. We receive that empowerment to walk with us, to talk with us, to help us to do and to be what God has called us to do and to be in our spiritual lives. Amen. With the Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. So as we go forward tonight, is there any praise request or any reports that we want to share? God been good somewhere.
Amen.
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 I'm just grateful every day for everything that I have. I mean, every time, as I said before, I turn on the water fountain, the water comes out, and the light switch, and the lights come on. I'm grateful. Every time I can breathe in and out, put my feet on the floor, I'm grateful. So, I see things happening in the world, and I see things happening in the church and in people. And I believe God is moving, and I'm just excited about what God's going to do in the lives of people. And I just want to be a part of that, to be used by God.
Amen.
Pray for my strength and guidance.
I do have a praise report. I have to thank God, because last night I was dealing with some serious unforgiveness in my heart, and I almost made a serious life decision because I was wounded severely, and I had some other saints come to my rescue return the same words and counsel that I have deposited over the years. and they let me hear the word that I'd been sharing for so long, and simply reminded me it was my turn to do what I say. And they saved me for myself.
All right.
So all right. I just want to thank God for that level of humility and not ignoring me and keeping me from myself.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for giving us the ability to stand on the faith that we claim that we have, and trusting that God will have our backs when we do that. I just want to thank you, Brother Lester, for this lesson and understanding God's faithfulness and how we truly need to walk in the faith and not be afraid of that, to trust that the very thing that God has placed in us is real and that we can truly rely on it. That's why this lesson, the faith that we receive freely, is so important. Because once we got it, you know, we're on our way. You know, we've got backup. You know, never leave us nor forsake us. So
amen.
I just thank the Lord for that.
Pray
thank
for our
Lord
country.
For
pray for our country.
Brother Nooks, would you close us in prayer tonight?
Yes.
And I'd ask that a prayer request for me would be for job opportunity. I thank the Lord for being able to walk with the vets and to get to experience them. But I really am looking for permanent employment so that I can eat and do that which God is calling me to do in my latter days, to be faithful to that. So just ask God to bless me in that area.
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you for helping us to grow and helping us to see ourselves. It's been hard, because God, sometimes we don't want to see us as we really are. And it's been painful, the lessons that we've had. But God, we rejoice at those right now, and we worship you for being patient and kind and long-suffering with us. And God, we're so grateful for your presence in our lives. For God, sometimes we struggle and we feel like we're all alone, and then we have to look up and see that you've got angels, an army of angels all around. And it's so good to know that you are our comfort and our strength. And we thank you for this Bible study, God, reminding us of your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness.
Thank you.
And God, we rely on that faithfulness. And that faithfulness gives us strength and hope and helps us to see ourselves even beyond the difficulties that we have in life. God, we thank you for the lesson that Pastor Lester learned about forgiveness. God, we thank you for Dr. Susie receiving the job and the ministry that you have for her. God, we thank you for blessing this country, even in our difficulties. God, we thank you for touching us and strengthening us each and every day, God, making a way when it seems like there is no way. God, even when we can't see tomorrow, we know that tomorrow is there, and it's going to be okay because it's in your hands, and we're in your hands. So, God, we're rejoicing in what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. Use us for your purpose, God. Help us to be faithful, even as you are faithful, and to stand on the faithfulness, to let somebody know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And God, help us to reflect you to other people. Help us to tap into that power. And God, we come against the devices of Satan that stops us from manifesting that power that you've already given us. Help us to see where to plug in, God, and to plug in and to use that power to help other people and to let people know about you. God, we thank you for your word tonight and for this study. We need you, God, each and every day, and we rejoice at how you are working in our lives. Touch all of our families in Jesus' name. Touch our churches in Jesus' name. Touch your one church in Jesus' name and help us to be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.